Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And as I was saying before we sat down to record, I keep forgetting what we're about to podcast about, and then I remember, and I think it is such a good idea.
No, you're setting them up to think that this is some like sophisticated or extravagant or revelation.
No, it's
or
so, not.
It's not. It's very puns, simple.
There are puns to be had.
Oh, is that it?
I'm just excited. She's talking about
entertaining herself versus you.
Yes, exactly.
That's what you're talking about.
Enjoy the work. Love. Do the work you love. Love the work you do.
I want to know, have you ever been to a quilting bar?
No, but I have one in my sewing accessory drawer. Oh, we did not practice that. Oh, gosh, it's a great day.
So what would a quilting bar do for you?
It would help me. Oh, shoot. Hold on. They have a drink called, maybe they'd have a drink called the Drunkard's Path.
That's right.
Maybe they would, is this a special kind
of bar? You could chase it.
Like a double wedding ring. I don't know if that's a drink or like a,
right.
Or well, something
what
else.
About like. A flying geese or something.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. The quilting bar. We're going to
But if you drink too much, everything looks like a Bargello.
Bargello shots! Bargello shots! Oh my God! Oh my God! Bargello shots! Bargello shots!
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. This isolation stuff has gone on too long.
We're going to win a Pulitzer Prize. Okay. You know? A podcast, an audio program, recently won a Pulitzer Prize for the first time.
And it wasn't us?
No, it was This American Life. Those people, I guess they know what they're doing. But did they get Bargello shots?
Bargello shots.
That is good. All right.
That is really good.
Well, maybe we should just stop.
Bar and Jello and shots. But anyway.
We're going to talk about SEMA guides today. And we have done a podcast.
And there's one called?
There's one.
A quilting bar.
We're like, oh my gosh, the quilt bar. We don't even like to quilt. I mean, I'll just say it right now. ZD and I personally.
You can use a quilting bar for other things.
I know.
Yes.
We're going to tell them that. But ZD and I personally don't enjoy quilting. We like to make garments. We like home deck. We like costuming.
We don't. Well, it's just not that, our thing. I mean, not that we haven't quilted and not that it doesn't come, but. And if we do quilting, it seems like it gets incorporated into a garment.
Or a home deck.
Right.
Anyway, but we are going to open the quilting bar.
That's right.
After this pandemic is over. All right. Bargello shots. Moving on. We're talking about seam guides. We are very passionate about seam allowance, ZD and me, aren't we? ZD and
most of the time, yes. I would say yes. Because, you know, cutting and seam allowance is what makes the product come out properly.
Like keeping, accurate cutting, then sewing an accurate seam allowance, and giving yourself enough seam allowance to keep your stitch stable as you're working on things. And that we've covered that in our seam allowance episode. But then I was just, you know, being a genius earlier, and I was like, we haven't talked about seam guides and the different types of seam guides there are. And let's just cover our another tenet. Okay, I would say that after a thread with your presser foot up, keep your eye off the needle. Don't watch your needle, watch your guide.
Watch your guide. Like watch whatever you've designated as your guide for sewing. If you watch your needle going up and down and you think that's going to help you put it in the right place or whatever, keep it in a good line or whatever. No, your eyeball bounces up and down with it. That's what happens.
Yeah, we're going to talk to you about
so
that.
So you need to be looking at something stable that's going along that guide, which whether it be the edge of the fabric going along the guide or you're looking at your presser foot and what, you know, it's going along something, whatever. Right. I've used all kinds of things
all
for
right.
guides.
And we're going to talk about them. So the first, I would say, you know, when you look at your throat plate, I would say, on 100% of sewing machines, don't you think? You're going to look at that.
I have never seen a sewing machine without a throat plate.
Yeah. Well,
and the guide. Right. Without the lines. And the lines are grooves.
Okay. Yeah. The lines are grooves. You know, I've seen one that maybe isn't grooves, but maybe, like, I mean, it was not a super nice machine. Okay.
It must have been a toy.
Right. So, your throat plate has lines on it.
Yes.
Now, the newer machine, the more they've tried to, like, be really nice to you and label the crap out of them. Okay.
Right.
Which can be good, except, then you move your needle and it's not, right?
You know? Right, you can move your needle and then those numbers don't mean anything. Yes. Or you can get really old like me and you can't see the numbers. You know they're there. You see them, you know, but you're not quite sure if you're looking at the 5/8 or the 3/8 or the what's. Yes.
So the throat plate, those lines, it's very old, very, you know, just a way that we have been, you know, doing, maintaining a seam allowance for a long time, since the very first sewing machines, probably. I make it sound like it's like the Pleistocene era or something. we have those lines on our throat plate. So how do we use those lines, Mom?
Well, the lines on your throat plate, generally, you are guiding the edge of your fabric along them, because if you guide your fabric over them, you can't see them.
You can't see them.
Right. Now, I'm going to get this tip real fast so that I don't forget it. So, some of us don't see as well or as we used to, or maybe never saw well at all. I don't know. Whatever. If you need help with what I'm going to talk about, this is my trick. So, I don't always see the and there's so many more lines. Like, there used to be like two or three lines on my plate. Now there's, you know, six or seven, and they're going all different directions and everything else. So what you can do is you can take, what I do is I take nail polish.
Uh-huh.
I put it in that little groove, because the lines are actually grooves.
Yeah.
Correct. So you kind of dab it in there with the little, you know, brush applicator or whatever. And then you can sort of wipe off the top so that there's none on the top.
Wait, I thought that our older machines, that they came with the red line.
With a little red line. And it, so here's what you can do. You can do a red line. You can do a white line.
Okay, but I don't know what, like, you say you added that, though.
I always added it. It was not on there.
I've been under the impression, and you marked the 5/8 inch. Because that's generally the traditional garment sewing seam allowance. You marked that, and I thought that it came like that. So
that's
I'm just saying that it's kind of funny.
Well, so you can use more than one color if you want to say, okay, so, you know, I use these two lines the most. I'm going to make this one white and this one red, or this one black and this one red, or whatever. You know, now you've got a multitude of colors, of course.
Yeah.
And I do like nail polish, honestly. It seems like it works the best. I've used, like, acrylic paints before, and I don't think they stay in as well.
So it goes down in that groove, and it's pretty well protected, so that's nice. So what you are doing with that guide, like you mentioned before, if we get into, like, the really, what do I want to say, the most basic definition of a seam guide, with those grooves that are on the machine, you are lining up the raw edges of your fabric for a seam, or you could be top stitching a hem or something else.
But it's an edge. You have to have an edge that you're using as a reference point.
That's right. And you run it along there, and your eyes, what you should be doing is you should be watching the seam guide and watching that edge.
That's
correct. As you go along.
Don't watch the needle popping up and down.
No. Now, there are other ways that you can do this. There are magnetic seam guides.
Right. And they're usually, you know, elevated. They've got some topography to them.
It's a physical barrier.
It is. So that you can go, like, sort of up against it. And some of those are magnetic.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about the magnets for a minute. Okay. So a lot of people are like, oh, my machine's plastic. Your throat plate might be metal, though.
Right.
So for some reason, you're, like, interested in the magnetic one. There you go. See if it will stick to your metal throat plate where you need it. The other thing is, there's a Nancy's Notions product that's like a re-stickable seam guide.
Yes.
So it's made of that stuff. I don't know. I don't know what that stuff is called, but some kind of like polymer.
Right.
That adheres to, you know, surfaces.
And then when it gets dusty, you have to rinse it off. And then it gets, so and it gets actually, sticky again.
It's not actually, it's not a glue.
It's not a glue. Okay. Right.
And it comes with like a piece of clear film that you can like right. stick it back to. And right. like mom said, it gets dusty, you rinse it and you
are oily, it. I guess. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
And you allow it to air dry.
Right.
And then it has its gripping powers back, which is nice. Because with the metal ones, like if your metal throat plate doesn't extend to right. As far as you need it, that can be important.
The other thing about, and when you would say extend, it doesn't extend very far in front of the needle, your throat, your metal.
The magnetic throat, the, ones yeah, the, and the throat
right, right, when the
throat
plate doesn't seem, you know, it's usually back under the presser foot more, uh-huh. you know, where the feed dogs are. So if you want something to like... You know,
help you more forward.
Right. If you want to be on there before you get, you know, to the stitching area, it's hard to do
that
sometimes.
That Nancy Zeman one is sold as two pieces. So you can use it as one, or you can like interlink the two to make it really long. So, like ZD just said, I think this is really important. For me and the type of sewing that I do, I don't like a physical barrier there all the time because if you have a curved seam, then you're watching your edge, just like we talked about, but you really are only watching the point that is directly to the right of the needle, right? And then, so like if you imagine an arm's eye that is curved or like a, I don't know, a sleeve cap or something like that, you're constantly pivoting the fabric in order to maintain the proper seam allowance.
Well, and if you have a convex curve you're going around, then you're driving into the barrier.
Either way, like right. you know, a severe curve,
right.
that long straight thing is going to kind of get in your way.
Right.
However, if I'm like hemming a bunch of curtains and I want to make it really easy on myself,
like if you're
straight,
making curtains for an Orr Street window, right. like you'll do anything.
You'll do whatever you need to do.
Right.
So in that case, I would like to have that physical barrier. But for a lot of the more detailed garment sewing, I'm going to use my sight and not
right.
have that. So there's that magnetic one. There's the sticky special Nancy Zeman one. And then there's also you taking a stack of Post-it notes from the office and
so you can make that, you know, however high you think you need that stack of Post-it notes.
Right.
It can be, you know, an eighth inch high, a quarter inch high. It can be a half inch high. But you can stick them to, you know, whatever side of your presser foot you need them to be.
That's the other thing. Sometimes, since that throat plate doesn't extend everywhere you need
right.
it, you can't get that metal one to go where you need it to go. And, okay, you know, I don't know if I've ever used a seam guide to the left of the needle. I generally use the ones to the
I know
right.
I have, and I can't tell you why.
And, okay, I just said that, and now I'm remembering that I think I have used it because it exists on another machine. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go use that machine because it has it over here. So it's nice. Some machines have markings
right.
on that side, and some don't.
Well, people who are familiar with tailoring say when you put a sleeve in, you put both sleeves in the same direction. So
right.
one has to be sewn to the right of the needle, and one has to be sewn to the left of the needle.
Yes, so that can be helpful there. But if you don't have a line there, you can do that. Now, there's one more that you wrote down that's kind of in this vein, and that is putting a rubber band
right
around your
right and
free arm.
I when I think of that, you're on your free arm.
Yeah, you're on
you
your
know,
free
you're
arm.
You're on your free arm, and you can use the rubber band. And a lot of times, you can slip, you know, your portable table back up over a rubber band. And the other thing you can use is like a ponytail holder that is thicker and gives you a bigger barrier. But then that will a lot of times
impede. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, putting back on like the arm cover or
but
whatever.
These barriers that are a little more three-dimensional are helpful to people who have low vision.
That's true.
Or to blind people. Mm-hmm. And I know, I mean, I had this thought before, and I was very wrong. I was like, well, blind people, do they sew?
Yes,
they do.
Well, another thing is someone who has a limited amount of control with their hands. So they've had a stroke, or there's a palsy there, or they, you know, anything like that will help.
Yeah.
Any, you know, it's always just, helpful if you are not absolutely perfect at, you know, the top of the sewing machine game at the time,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, for some right. reason, that's like a challenge for you. And, oh, I was going to say something else and I've lost it. So, oh, they sell tape, okay? So there's always a specialty product around the corner to replace your household solution. And I have to say, they do help. Like, Wonder Clips instead of binder clips.
Yeah, okay. Wonder Clips are better.
You know, and sometimes this machine tape that mm-hmm. they sell it as ruler tape too.
It looks like ruler tape. So it's marked off usually in inches, you know, and
oh,
eighth
I'm
and quarter inches.
Oh, I'm not talking about that. Okay, I'm talking about something different.
Oh, you're talking, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's car detailing tape.
Okay, here you are.
So you can use that too.
Okay.
Or you can use washi tape.
So it's less, but it is a little three-dimensional, okay?
You can feel it.
You can feel it. So it's a less of a, I would find it to be less impeding to me.
Well, it doesn't, and it also doesn't impede anything like, you know, the arm, the free arm, or the, and
so
putting the attachment on or
that kind of stuff. And you'd be like, wait, do I need that? Well, give it a shot, give it a try, or try your household solution first and then see what would help you. But I do want to just reiterate, like, make sure you know what you marked, okay?
Right.
Is this a 5/8 inch seam from your needle when it's in the left position,
mm-hmm.
when it's in the center,
right?
When it's in the right, what is it? You know, make sure you either have written this down, you have a note on your machine, like, for this project, it's like this, or it is how you sew by default.
And that's another place Post-it notes are good.
Oh, yeah.
If you need a note about what stitch you're going back and forth to and how it's set or what's set, anything.
So that Mallory doesn't mess up the
That's another thing to do. If you're sharing a machine,
especially,
or if you're leaving a project for somebody else, write down those things and put a Post-it note up for that person.
Yes. So, you can always sit down to your machine and remeasure. But I know a lot of people will use that tape and they know, oh, the blue one is this.
Right.
And the pink one is this. You know, it's these.
Well, and there's a lot of people that don't vary their sewing like other people. You know, they sort of stick with the same things.
Well, and I've had it where I'm like, okay, for this project, for some reason, I'm using sort of an out of the ordinary, kind of thing. And it happens to work because of, I don't know, the width of the stripe in my paper.
Whatever.
You know, what's going on. So there are all those things that you can use. And I think that, you know, there are people who do like a lot of other improvising for sure. There are flexible rulers that can go on the machine, that can stick on the machine. That can be nice because then you get like also a measuring implement, you know.
Well, you can use just a flat refrigerator magnet as a seam guide.
You can.
Okay.
Okay. Do you have any other seam guides before we talk about quilting bars?
Yes, I do. I actually do.
Okay. Should we take a break, though, first?
Well, we can.
Okay. ZD, what's your favorite way to measure yourself?
With my Easy Check tape measure.
So tell me a little bit about this.
It's the only way to measure myself, I think.
Why is it so magical?
Well, because there's a slide on it.
Uh-huh.
You actually snap one end of the tape measure into the back of the slide, and then you fit it to the measurement, and then you can unsnap. And the slide remains on the place that you've measured.
So if you're trying to measure your arm.
Right.
Or your underbust.
Right.
Or your
thigh. Or your head.
Oh, yeah. The head. Right. Definitely.
Well, and, you know, measuring yourself is one thing. But even measuring somebody else, what it does is it marks the spot, basically, where the measurement is. And so if I'm, and this happens to you, that you're measuring somebody and they start talking to you and you're like, was that 21 or 23? Oh, my gosh.
Right.
And where with this, you know, the slide has marked it.
I also have heard feedback from customers who say, I am sending this to my daughter or, you know, so that she can measure my grandchildren.
That's
and it will be accurate.
Right.
Right.
Well, we've actually had trainers, too.
Yep.
That bought these, you know, for their customers, or they themselves use it for their customers, or it was a male trainer and a female client. He didn't have to put his hands on the person or whatever.
Also, this tape measure, when you use it with a snap, it's impossible to work from the wrong side.
That's the other thing. Yeah. I was going to say, you can't measure from the 60 end. You have to measure from the zero end.
Yes.
Right. Right. And I said 60, but, you know, it also has the millimeters on the other side, too. So yeah. You've got...
you have imperial. And you have metric,
right.
And so the Easy Check tape measure makes it very simple when you are trying to measure yourself and you just don't want to be fumbling around.
Well, and I think, you know, the thing is, don't order one, because if somebody sees it, a husband or a daughter or just a friend, I mean, honestly, at Christmas time, I would put this like in almost everybody's stocking stuffer. And I think it's a great thing to like send away to college with people, things like that.
Where
you want something measured.
Well, if you're interested in your own Easy Check tape measure, you can see a video on how it works at sewhere.com/tape measure. And you can check it out for yourself.
Sewing out loud.
We're back. All right.
So I'm sitting back in my chair and trying not to be hot, just so everybody knows.
ZD's hot, or Mike is hot.
Our editor told us that we had a hot mic. She said, one of you is hot, and I said, it must be me.
That's right.
But anyway.
So the next guides I want to talk about are the ones that are on top of, or like attached to the foot, or that are presser feet.
Right. It can be just the edge of your foot.
So it can be the edge of your foot.
And actually, on some of the feet that are open or, you know, transparent, you can see through or whatever, it can be a mark on them somewhere.
Okay. And then there are feet that
And I'm
like...
not saying a mark somebody made to be a guide.
It was put there.
It's one I decided would be a guide.
There are feet that look like they have little rulers attached to them, too.
Yes, those two.
So this is important when you don't have an edge. It's like you're sewing on top of a project.
So like top stitching, maybe you're like on top of the fabric, but you have a seam that you want to go along, right?
Yes.
Next to or something.
Yeah, and then this does bring up the edge joining
foot. It does.
Foot.
The edge joining foot fits in there, too.
So it has that little, you know, center guide, which we have talked
so
about.
So that's your stitch in the groove type foot.
Yeah, stitch in the ditch, stitch in the groove, where you can move your needle. And then these other ones, like there's a foot called the seam guide foot, and it literally looks like there is kind of a ruler,
like a little ruler sticking out of it. Yeah.
And then there are some feet, they look like they are rulers,
right?
But you can snap them and you can sew and stuff, but it's kind of interesting. It's like, man, we're getting really accurate here. And then there's the quilt bar.
Yes, there is.
There's the quilt
bar. Mallory wants to go to the quilt bar and throw back some Bargello shots.
Yeah, I do.
That'll make you stitch straight.
That's right. So I want to talk a little bit about quilting bars, because I think people use them not
She's been to so many.
Well, right. Okay, once again, so I try to stay out of this, because I really don't. I'm not a quilter. So I don't. It's like, I wouldn't listen to me about quilting. You know what I mean? I would go to somebody else. But when people use a quilt bar, what they're doing, I'm going to make a generalization. This is generally to create parallel lines of quilting.
Right.
Sometimes they're rather far apart.
Yes.
It can be like up to like an inch apart or more. I mean,
they can
be
2 or 3 inches apart.
They can be closer together. But if you're doing
however far away your bar is how far they can be.
Yeah. But generally you use this to make kind of a larger distance, because if you need something smaller, then one of those like seam guide feet are appropriate.
Foots,
you know, like that really narrow railroad quilting that's popular, like on the modern quilts, you could do that with a presser foot probably. So these quilt bars are for some of these wider channels. And people will then, like, they'll go to their quilt sandwich, or they'll go to their quilt and they'll do 2 perpendicular lines. And then to start their quilting, they run the needle down the line they've marked. And I'm like, no, you're watching your needle.
Right.
Run the quilt bar
down
the line that you marked.
Right.
And then proceed from there and run the quilt bar down you know, your subsequent lines. Yes. But it's always like on that first one, I'm like, no, 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 your line's not going to be very nice because you're watching your needle. No matter how it's not as nice as when you like use the quilt bar as your. So that's just my two cents there.
So it might not be referred to as a quilt bar.
Yes.
At your house or in your owner's manual, it might say quilt guide.
Or sometimes people just do call this a seam guide.
Yeah, sometimes it does say seam guide.
And this is where it's nice if you do a lot of this type of thing to have one that goes on the left and one that goes on the right.
Well, and that is kind of an issue. Some machines will only have a right-sided seam guide. I have flipped it over and used it on the left before. It doesn't work as well. It's not as nice. But, you know, you can get a left and a right.
Okay, so how these work, they work differently on different machines. On the baby lock, with your, like, kind of default or your most basic quilt bar or quilt guide, it just kind of shoves into the back of the ankle here with tension.
Right.
There's no screw or anything like that.
So you can use it on almost every foot.
Right. So, yeah, you could have a quilt bar with your couching foot or your this. Or
and people will use this. You know. Maybe they're doing a decorative stitch and they're trying to keep them, you know, a certain distance apart on something.
So you can use – that is really nice that you can use it any foot. When you get into your walking feet – okay, you may have to buy quilt guides that are specific to your walking foot. And I remember us selling, like, there was a basic walking foot and there was a deluxe walking foot. And one of the things about the deluxe is that it came with the two quilt bars.
It had a bump for both sides. On both sides. That's correct.
And that walking foot was, like, you know, a little nicer somehow, you know. So I always told people, just go ahead and buy this one because it comes with these attachments, you know, that make it easier for you to do what you want to do. And the way these seam guides work, or these quilt guides, or these quilt bars work, is they have that, you know, bar at the back, and then they have kind of something that swoops down.
Right. So it's kind of like a foot or an ankle that kind of comes down.
And it lays on the fabric, and you need to be careful because you don't want it to impede your fabric. It just needs kind of skin.
Well, and that's one reason I think, like, Baby Lock and other machines I know have this too. Like, it just goes in with tension so that it will glide over the, if there's a hump or a bump, and not hit.
And you can rotate. Right. You can, first of all, adjust its distance from the needle to give yourself your 1 inch or your half inch or your 1.5 inch lines, but then it rotates a bit so that you can adjust how it rides along.
And really, you don't want it riding on your fabric as much as just barely hovering. It can barely touch.
So that you can be accurate, you know. But these are good for things other than quilting, and you can use it as a physical barrier.
Absolutely.
Okay, you could use it when you're sewing to where there's an edge.
Yes.
And this would be nice once again for like something like drapes or something like that. But it doesn't attach to the bed of your machine. It's attaching to the foot and then dropping, you know, to the foot and dropping down to the bed of the machine. So that's kind of nice. And then are we talking about the laser?
Have you talked about the laser?
No.
Would you like to talk about the laser?
I'd love to talk about the laser. And I'll tell you what, it actually is a laser.
Yes, it is.
It is now. Okay, so we talked about free motion quilting a couple episodes ago. And the BSR had a red light that shone down on the fabric. And everyone's like, don't call it a laser. It's not a laser.
Right.
It is, you know, and people are all afraid
of it. I think
it
was infrared. Yeah.
It's a laser and blah, 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 or whatever. And it was just like something that was allowing the machine to sense the movement of the fabric. Okay. Well, these new guides on the sewing machines, they are actually a laser. What's laser stand for?
Oh.
Light amplification.
Emitting something.
Something, radiation. Light amplification by stimulated emission of radiation.
There you go.
So it is, you know, it is a laser. Now, there are other parts, though. Now there's all sorts of different things. There is sort of a projection now that can happen on some of the machines, so it'll project down a grid. That's not a laser, but like the line is. Okay, I must admit, I'm not. We've done an episode where we talk about the laser. It's about like smart machines,
right?
I don't think the laser is a make it or break it thing for me.
It isn't for me, yeah.
Now, projecting your embroidery motif down onto the fabric, that is amazing.
That's amazing.
Okay, I would pay for that. The laser is not quite as amazing to me.
Okay. Things like that, just what the embroidery stuff and positioning things and all of that and moving the hoops around and all that and the size of the hoops, all of that that's happened in the last 25 years is just been so rapid.
Yes. And amazing. Okay, but what happens here with this laser is it shines down a straight line on your fabric. Okay, so this can be nice. But a lot of people are like, well, I just don't see how it's useful in like a non-quilting, environment or, right. In a non-quilting, okay, I'm just sewing straight lines with this, okay? And that can be true. You can get really accurate, though, because on your screen, on your machine, you can see where your needle is positioned, and then you can see where the laser is. So if you're trying to get something just super duper accurate like that, it can be nice. The main reason I like it is for multi-motion stitches. And I'll tell you why. So multi-motion stitch is one where your feed dogs move the fabric side to side. Okay. And, ZD and I are big fans of not pushing or pulling your fabric through the machine because it will do it itself. Okay. But when you start to get these multi-motion machines and you kind of try to back off the guidance, or multi-motion stitches, excuse me, and you back off the guidance, it can get off track.
Right.
Okay. So like your bumblebee isn't complete if you didn't, keep everything on.
The bumblebee's head is hanging off.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what I like to do is I like to give myself a long straight line in chalk or whatever marking tool I'm using, or maybe I am hemming something, and I shine that laser down and I keep my laser parallel to my chalk line. Or to the edge of my fabric.
Right.
What I used to tell people before the laser, or what I'd tell people without the laser, is look at the side of your foot.
Right.
And keep it parallel. Okay. But you get such a longer reference line from
your
laser.
It's like you know ahead of time.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's really nice. And when you are doing a stitch that isn't multi-motion, okay, that does stay within the actual stitching area of the presser foot, since you have a machine with a laser, you have a machine with like a colored screen, and it can show you which part of the stitch will be on top of the laser. Okay, so if you want like the top of your A to be at the top of the stripe on your fabric, you can line it up like that. Okay, so it can be helpful. I do like the grid that can be shown down on the fabric to kind of keep things square. So that's nice, but yeah, I don't know. I wish I could. The laser is not something that I would say, you must have. It was never a turning point when I was selling a machine to someone.
No.
You know, I'd be like,
I don't remember anyone saying, that's what I need.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They liked it. It was okay. Yeah.
Or and when they come back, they'd be like, okay, laser's great.
And I think, the whole thing, like you said, the embroidery stuff is where it really seemed to come in.
That would be where I could really get into salesman mode.
Right.
Like, oh my gosh, you're never going to wonder.
Yeah, you're never going to want to be without this again. Right. The only time I know anybody felt absolutely in love with it and said, I don't want to ever do it without it again, was in embroidery mode.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just, right. The laser's good there. In fact, the laser in its simpler form in embroidery mode where it's just the dot.
No, the dot's enough.
Little,
yes.
You know,
almost. Better. It's good enough. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So those are there any other seam guides that we haven't talked about? Now, okay, we haven't talked about the feet that have seam guides on them. We talked about the edge joining foot. There's a quilt, a quarter inch.
Well,
foot with a
quarter
guide
inch,
on it. Same
quarter.
Thing.
Okay, quarter inch foot.
Yeah.
So there's basically two types of quarter inch feet. There's one with a seam guide that is a barrier on it.
Yeah.
Right? It has an edge on it. You can't. So it's at the edge of the fabric, and that's where it measures for the quarter inch. Then there is one that is absolutely the foot, each side of the edge of the foot is a quarter inch from the needle.
Right.
Okay. Then the other thing about those feet and other feet is you want to look on your feet and see if there are marks that are going from front to back.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like perpendicular to the edge of feet.
Yeah.
Because they are doing that to let you know that, oh, you know, it's a quarter inch from here, from the front, or a quarter inch from the back of the needle.
Yes.
And then usually the other feet will be like a 5/8.
Yeah.
You know, it'll show you 5/8 if they have a mark there.
Definitely read about
all you have feet. To do is measure it too.
Yeah, and read about your feet, because you might not know like that. That is giving you that information, and that can be very nice. But yeah.
So not only do you keep a seam gauge or a ruler, you know, next to your sewing machine to measure fabric or trim or what, you may measure distances of needles and, you know, how far things away from what's away from what and how far is this.
Yes.
So that's why, you know, when people say, oh, I need a seam gauge to sew. No, you need like three. One of your ironing, well, you know, one of the ironing board, one of the cutting board, and, you know, one at the sewing machine, if you don't want to be looking for one.
And back to that quilt foot with, you know, okay, do you need one ruler to sew? So people would come in and they'd say, well, which of these quilting feet do I need? Because, you know, they weren't cheap, and not everybody's looking to buy like two of something that's called the same thing.
Well,
you know?
Right, or repeats its function.
Yeah, you don't want to be redundant. They're like, well, can't I just get away with this one? And I'd say, get whichever one you think is most useful now. But a lot of people come back and get the complimentary one. You know,
well, and people, you know, if you have the one that has the like the quilting foot with the physical edge.
Yes.
You can't jump a hump with it very well.
Yeah, it's a little more difficult. So a lot of people, I would say, how it would normally be used is the one with the guide was used for piecing a lot of the time, and the one without the guide was more used for quilting on top. But then, of course, people would
But it's then as soon as you start piecing with, like, multiple seams, then the guide gets in the way. So it's, you know, all of these things are made for your convenience, and maybe not really necessary, but once you have it, you think it is, right? Once you use it and it makes you happy, then it is necessary for your happiness.
You can find that it becomes something that makes it more convenient for you. And we, even though ZD and I are not, you know, quilters and it's not our cup of tea, we served so many people at the shop who were. Like,
but we are also very much feet people.
Yes, we are feet people.
We are feet people.
But yeah, so I'm just saying we had a really good representative sample of people who ended up getting both quilt feet. So that was, you know, nice for us to know. All right, you got anything else to add? Oh, I have something to add. I feel like this episode was inspired when Fred posted that list of episodes about presser feet.
Was Fred.
Yeah, thanks, Fred, for the she published a list of podcast episodes that we've published, you know, all the ones we did on presser feet. She compiled them, which we very much
appreciate. And then she asked us if we've missed any, and we don't know. Oh, yeah, she knows better than us, I think.
She also wrote my live broadcast script for me the other day.
Well, you know, Mallory and I guess sometimes have we sit here and have a discussion. And we've told you this before. Oh, no, we've talked about that. But where did we talk about it?
Well, also, you know, I think sometimes our audience doesn't mind hearing about something again. I mean,
I don't.
Yeah, me neither.
I mean, that just keeps it in my brain better.
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on Instagram. We are So Here Calm. And ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.